Hi, this is Dave Schrader from Darkness Radio, where you can join me Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. to midnight, as we talk about the strange and unusual world around us, from ghosts to Bigfoot, psychic phenomena, and more. Check out darknessradio.com. And if you're an adventurer like me and you'd like to get out and see things for yourself, you got a couple of great opportunities coming up. You can join me at the Belvoir Winery. The Odd Fellows Asylum is featured on Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures TV series. I'll be going there with Bill Chappell, the paranormal engineer, and sensitive psychic Chris Fleming. We'll be out there to investigate over an entire weekend at the Odd Fellows Asylum in Missouri. So please check out darknessevents.com. And for those of you looking for the adventure of a lifetime, join me on my Frankenstein field trip as we go through Germany and Prague, visiting some of the most haunted and terrifying locations in the world. And you'll be able to join us, small group of 25 to 30 of us, as we go along and hear some of the tales and get a chance to investigate some of these places firsthand. There's more information about that trip and where you can meet me throughout the year at darknessevents.com, or just check out darknessradio.com for all the inclusive information about it. Tonight we're having a little fun in the last part of the show talking about strange Bigfoot encounters, and we're opening phone lines. If you'd like to call in and share your insights, your thoughts, do you believe that these strange stories are just that, nothing more than strange imaginings by different people around the world? Or because they are so strange, is that what intrigues you? I know that we got an email here from Richard. He says, when hearing your guest tonight and all the strange and weird encounters he has with Bigfoot, it's true. Bigfoot is that weird, and it just is what it is. But what created it and plays games with it on humans is the real question. When they got tired of the dinosaurs, we got the UD geological KT boundary. Be ready for a new KT boundary. No survivors this time. Everything goes to the other side. That comes from Richard. So what do you think on this? Phone lines are open. We'll be joined by Andrew Colvin for the remainder of the show. If you'd like to call in, we'll hear some more of his favorite strange Bigfoot tales and more next on Coast to Coast AM. We're back. Andrew Colvin, my guest for the remainder of the show, as we talk about the book by Gray Barker, Bigfoot Shootout, Terrifying Tales of Interspecies Conflict. And when they pick up the books like this and many of the others that you're going to be reproducing from the original printings, are these short little compact stories that just kind of, you know, I call them bathroom reading, the type you can just sit down and enjoy a quick story?
Yeah. Some of them get pretty involved in conceptual, though. It's like he had different columns within his publications, you know, and one he would have a more serious editorial, and then would jump around and give news items. I think it's fun to read those old news items, you know, just as they were written, and they often have interesting details in them that have somehow gotten removed from the story over the years. There's a lot of in both ufology and Bigfoot. There's a lot of working over dead horses, like Roswell, these controlled stories that often are the least valid are the ones that get harped on for decades. And it's hard for a real story, even if you have documentation, if you have the blood sample, you know, you'll run into so much trouble, because it seems like the field, just somebody somewhere is deciding we need to use these stories that are sort of not really going to go anywhere, you know. So there won't be an answer ever, which, you know, is kind of the idea for a lot of people. They just want to keep it going and sell books and stuff. So I guess I'm as bad as anyone else, but I try to do what's called curated fringe publishing. Curated is the hot word right now. And that's what you guys are kind of doing. You're doing the curated, you know, fringe show. So, yeah, there's lots of bouncing around between things.
All right, let's start taking some calls. We've got first-time caller Greg in Tempe, Arizona. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Greg. Welcome.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good. How about yourself, sir?
Not too bad, thanks. I think your guest was just commenting about there may not be any answer for many of these questions that everybody seeks.
Right.
And other things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have pretty much the answers for the many questions that you talk about on this program. And I'm here to, basically blow your socks off, Dave.
All right. Start blowing.
Okay. Well, everything that you talk about is related. Bigfoot, aliens, abductions, even crop circles, diseases like Morgellons disease, fibromyalgia. This relates to Thin Man, Mothman, and what the truth is that this is all interferometry based electronic systems that they may be trying to give you a message that you may have what I have. And it's horrific, Dave. I've been able to post one video on YouTube so far. I've been fighting this thing for a long time, over probably 30 years. It could be, crystals definitely help it. Yeah, they can read your mind with crystals, these electronic systems. You have callers that call in talking about, they see a UFO fly by and then two jets are chasing them. Well, the electronic systems in the jets are making you see that UFO. That is coming from the United States military airplanes.
So you're saying that the phenomena that we're seeing is not exactly real. It's altered reality from...
Exactly. It is electronics-based. It's computer, supercomputers hooked up to interferometric-based electronic systems. I have a background in electronics. I know this is true. You can hear things. If you have enough crystals in your body, like for normal common drugs... Even street drugs, they're crystal based. Think about the crystal radio sets from 100 years ago. You didn't even need power to listen to the radio. The gadolinium based the crystal that was in there would demodulate amplitude modulated carrier signal, and you just hold it up here, and you can hear the radio broadcast without. You don't even have to plug a thing into the wall. So,
but to what end? Okay, I get some of that, and we've heard some of that before. That it's the way that the government is manipulating things, and that they've actually got in some of these domestic terrorist. And by that I don't mean like the terrorism we're used to, but in the ones where people feel that they're being affected by microwave transmissions and ultra-frequency sound and things that's affecting their health and their own mental well-being and making them hallucinate. To what end? Why would they beam a pretend UFO in the sky to watch two fighter pilots race after it?
To give you a message so that when somebody like me comes along, mm-hmm. and gives you the truth, you can think back and say, oh my God, maybe what I'm talking about is related to yourself. And maybe somebody like me has not come along yet, and they're just trying to give the message to as many people as they can until somebody like me comes along. I don't really know everything, Dave. I do know that
they're doing a preemptive disinformation strike by creating something so that when you come along to tell me the truth of the fact that it's nothing more than engineered machinations that we're seeing, that I won't believe you because they've got high powered jets chasing after these things. So I'm going to believe more that it's extraterrestrial interference rather than our own government messing with us.
Well, that's a possibility, but I'm saying that to give you the truth, not even to hide the truth, but to give you the truth that, you like 5 years ago, you had an experience. Think about the logistics. How many people may have, maybe you would get it if you understand the disease that I have. I have a video up on YouTube. I can tell you what it is. I can tell you what Morgellons is and many diseases, I believe, some types of cancer, fibromyalgia, maybe arthritis and things like that, sciatica, all that thing, I believe is all the same thing. And I have that. And the reason I can call you here tonight, Dave, is that I have found a cure for this disease. I think in the beginning, they just wanted people to go away. But now I have the cure for that disease, Dave. Many of those diseases.
And how did you come by it?
Well, it was either that or I was going to die. I had this thing so bad that, I was...
Right, but if they're the ones running these things and these diseases, why do you think
they haven't taken you
out of the picture?
Because it's contagious. It's like a contagious human disease that is basically uncurable until I figured out the cure.
All right, can you give us a quick answer? What's the cure for all of these diseases?
The cure is 10% sulfur soap. You have to rub it into the afflicted areas, which in my case is basically my whole body. And it's a very difficult cure, but it is doable. I've been doing it for over 10 years now, and I'm not dead yet. So
Are you a medical doctor or have any medical training?
Well, not formal training, no, but
okay.
it's massive hours of internet research in the beginning and treating this thing.
All right. Well, I'm glad it's working for you, Greg. Thank you for calling in. Remember, folks, he's not a medical person, so be very leery when you get advice from people that don't have a medical background on how to cure these things. Not that I'm trying to spread disinformation to hurt you even more. Do your own research, but I don't know that all the answers you're going to seek are on the internet. All right, let's go to east of the Rockies, John in Lima, Ohio. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are we doing?
It's changing minute by minute, John. What's going on?
Yeah, I know that many people comment and then ask questions, but I'd like to flip it around if I could and ask my question first and then comment. How familiar... are you with Melba Ketchum's work?
Personally, or are you asking Andrew?
Both, actually.
I know what I've read. I know some of the work that I've seen online, some of the stuff that has been passed on to me from other Bigfoot researchers. What specifically are you requesting or wanting to know about?
Well, I know that from George Knapp's interview with her, she revealed that the DNA tests on the samples that she submitted showed that the maternal side of the DNA was human, but the paternal side, the father's side, they said they could not connect it to anything human or zoologically, like a bear or a gorilla or a skunk ape. And so at the time, I made the comment to them that sounds to me like you're looking at fallen angel DNA.
And I was wondering, you're thinking Nephilim, Anunnaki type thing?
Exactly.
I don't know. Andrew, are you familiar with what's going on with Dr. Melba Ketchum and her research and work?
Oh, just like you, just what I've read. But to do a DNA test on Bigfoot, we need a body. That's the only real way you could ever say that it was from a Bigfoot.
A piece of meat from the Bigfoot would also work in that case. And I know I've spoken to Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum about this, and he's read through the information, has researched it, and just doesn't feel that any of it adds up. I know the guest that we spoke to in the first hour of the show, Brian Sykes, also believed that it was bad science. Not having a science background myself, I have no way to differentiate between good science or bad science when it comes to investigating this. But due to the fact that Brian is a well-known geneticist and has spent his time researching this and looking things over, and I'm just not sure where it all falls into place. Was there another part of your question you wanted to hit, John?
Well, so far, it seems like Melba Ketchum has been one of the few that has actually brought forth any kind of findings. That this is what she submitted, and this is what it has revealed so far, which I find very...
But I believe that the actual findings came out that it was bear, and that, because we're talking about some of the samples that she had gotten from Justin Smea, correct?
Yeah.
Right, and it turned out, and he even said, I never said it was a Bigfoot. You know, I thought it might be bear. He wasn't sure. He went back there to look. We had Justin on our show on Darkness Radio, and then I had him on Coast to Coast. And that whole story seemed to just spin out of control. I you know, he shot one, then he, you know, shot another, then he shot a little Bigfoot, and you know, he didn't want to get in trouble, so, you know, he shot one and then decided not to bring it in, and then decided, well, he better prove that he did this, and then shot another, and then decided, nah, he didn't want to bring that one in either, and kind of buried it, and then went back out there to find it and brought his dog, and the dog found something, but that test came back, as my understanding, as being bear. And I don't know that that's ever been clarified or cleared up. And I understand if there's frustration that she's trying to get it to peer-reviewed journals, and a lot of these peer-reviewed journals refuse to look at it because it's Bigfoot-related. But according to Brian Sykes, our guest in the first hour, peer-reviewed journals, if it's done right and you're turning it in, they'll review and look at any of this. But if it's not done the proper way, that may be where the problem lies.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a procedural type issue.
Exactly, and that may be where the problem is with the situation. So I'm not real sure how that's going to break down for her, or how, if anything's going to come from that. And I know that she's taken a considerable hit, from my understanding, because of the work that she's been involved in. And, you know, certainly we'd only wish the best for people that are sincere in their interest in trying to understand the Bigfoot phenomena and trying to get answers. You know, that's great, but at what cost? And, you know, putting yourself out there for something that you know, may or may not be legitimate, and hoping and praying on the words of guys whose stories seem to change. You know, I don't know. It's really hard to come by. But again, Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum has weighed in on that. Brian Sykes has weighed in on that. And I think quite a few others. Lauren Coleman, I think, also, you know, and these are some big names in the paranormal, or in the cryptozoological field. And they're just, it holds no water. And these are guys that want to believe. These are guys that want this to be true.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I don't know too many interdimensional beings that smell.
Well, how many interdimensional beings have you come across?
Well, that's true.
Right. And wouldn't you think that if they are interdimensional, I mean, part of the belief system is that the reason that they do stink is because it's interdimensional. When they're coming in and out through these portals, there's residue, there's a burning, you know, much like they say in space, it smells like I don't know, Tim, what did they say? It smells like gunpowder and something, gunpowder and flatulence, I believe is what they said it smells like in space. So if you're popping in and out of dimensions, you might have kind of a funky odor to you.
That's a good point. I never thought of it that way.
I come across a good point once in a while. Thanks a lot for giving us a call.
Thanks.
And spending some time with us here this evening. We've got to take a break. We're up against another a break here. But real quickly, Andrew, is there a website that they can find more information about the books that you're working on and releasing?
Newsossarian.com, but I would recommend that people go to Amazon and type in Saucerian, which is saucer, I-A-N, and you'll see 200 and some books that we have from all the different genres.
All right, Saucerian.com. We'll have a link up to that over at Coast to Coast AM as well. Stay tuned. We've got more of your calls, more points and counterpoints to share here on Coast to Coast AM. During the break, I received an email request from the Beaverton Police Department. It is looking for a runaway, a missing girl. And if you've seen Aaliyah Violet Curley, she's about 5'4", 135 pounds, brown eyes, also goes by the name Allie. She is endangered and in need of mental health evaluation. If you know where she is, please call 503-629-0111. That's 503-629-0111. Aaliyah Violet Curley. If you know her or where her whereabouts are, please contact the police department as soon as possible. The non-emergency reporting number is 503-629-0111. She is endangered and in need of mental health evaluation. If you're local to the Beaverton and Portland area, know where she is, please call 911 to report her if she is seen. So please let that out. As a father myself of boys and girls, and knowing that one of them would go missing, it would be heart-wrenching. So please, if you know where she is, help get her the help she needs, and call in right now. This is Coast to Coast AM. Our guest this evening, Andrew Colvin. As we wrap up the show, we'll continue taking your calls and more right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to the show. This is the best in overnight talk radio, Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, this evening. And my guest as we wrap up is Andrew Colvin. Andrew, are you ready for some more calls?
I am indeed. It's my favorite part of everything. This is the most favorite thing I have, I think. It's in the top three.
All right, let's go to wild card line two. Jeff in Culver City, you're on the air.
Hello, Dave and Mr. Colvin. Yes, I've always been somewhat skeptical about the Bigfoot stories, especially in the Pacific Northwest areas of Washington State and Oregon. In 1992, shortly after the L.A. riot, my wife and I, you know, wanted to get out of L.A. for a while, traveled to Portland, Oregon. It was during their annual Rose Parade Festival, and we both fell in love with that city. While there, we noticed strange written materials about that city, which basically said, all new development will be contained within a circular area or within the Portland area or something like that. We found that extremely repressive, and to me it seemed like a form of containment on construction, expansion, and urbanization into the forested areas of Oregon. Of course, is this, Mr. Colvin, do you believe that the Bigfoot stories as it pertains to the Pacific Northwest region of the United States was really perhaps an elaborate hoax created by environmentalists to prevent people from wanting to expand into the wilderness areas, you know, sort of like a scare tactic, similar to how people viewed L.A. and San Francisco, you know, which prevented them, you know, from coming here for earthquakes, like to scare people up, like, don't move into these cities because there's a lot of earthquakes here. But as we know now, there haven't been no major earthquakes since 94. So I just want to get your points on that.
Well, that's kind of true, but it's usually the mining companies that are spreading the story more, because like there was a case in West Virginia where there was a specific kind of bat living. I was told this by a guy who worked there, and this rare bat, you know, was on the endangered list, and the government, you know, the EPA or whoever wants to, you know, make sure this thing is protected. So the the coal company cooked up a story about a monster down there, a Bigfoot monster, to scare the environmental guy from the government away, basically. So it's kind of opposite of what you're saying, but it's true that people do use these stories. I think I heard that about the Travis Walton case, that there was something involved with the logging company there that story somehow helped them out.
I'm not sure about that. That's I know Travis personally, and when you watch this man talk about what happened and you see his eyes glaze over as he relives those moments,
I don't doubt him. He may, in fact, have had that happen, but whoever owned the logging company used it for their own purposes.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, it's not really a Travis, he seems totally sincere.
Let's go to wild card line one, Bonnie in Pahrump, Nevada. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hello. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Sure.
Actually, I just called to make a couple of points, and I had a short Bigfoot story. When I was at ESETI last July, we were told by the guy that owns the ranch that they have seen one that's a young one that goes back and forth and kind of teases with the people there that come for the, you know, for the camping and for the night watches at the ranch in Washington there. And I guess he's, you know, they think he's a youth, but I guess he's been seen by several people. So can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. And the second thing is that, you know, as far as your concerns about, you know, is this believable and all of this stuff, there's really no way that really anybody, you know, with the way that our power structure is set up here in this country and probably beyond, that anybody's really ever going to be able to come upon DNA that's solid or a body or anything like that, because en route, you know, it's just going to get heisted and the people are going to get threatened and, you know, the DNA is going to get switched And it's just the way things are, unfortunately, with our country. I hear in other countries it's not as bad, but here, you know, just the way our powers that be are, it's just something that is just an ongoing thing. And people just, you know, everyone says, well, there's no proof. That's just because it's just never, you know, it's always going to be covered up.
Bonnie, why do you think, though, let me ask you, Bonnie, with that thought in mind, though, why would the government cover up the existence of Bigfoot? Why? Aliens, maybe, because you could say, obviously, these beings are far superior to us mentally and with their technology. So if we can't show people that we can protect ourselves, yes, I can understand you maybe trying to silence the idea that that exists. Bigfoot. Who cares if it's just another creature living in the woods amongst us? Why cover it up from the government perspective?
Well, because that's just because most likely they know that it's not just a creature that's living in the woods. The stories are, at least the one that I've heard, is that particularly from John Lear, he claims that they actually inhabit one of the other planets around the solar system, and they're not necessarily native to our planet. They're teleporting back and forth. And, you know, they have ways of getting here or whatever. So they're not necessarily an on-planet creature. They, you know, if we were to hear about something, yeah, down in the Amazon, you know, a creature that's down there that's just native to that area, sure, nobody would care. But it's something that, because it's an off-planet creature that obviously can and does harm to people, you know, according to a lot of the stories, there's twofold reasons. One, most likely to keep people from being terrified, and two, to keep people from believing that life exists on other planets and that they, you know, the planets are close.
So you believe it's because they are alien as well?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Bonnie. Let's go to west of the Rockies. Brother Jonathan in Bakersfield, California. You're on the air.
My phone rang. I hope I wasn't rude. Nobody was hurt. And this
brother
guy here, he's a cab driver. He saw the whole
All right, let's go to Wild Card Line 3. We'll try to go back to Brother Jonathan in a bit. Wild Card Line 3, Kenneth in Portland, Oregon. You're on the air.
Hey, Dave. How you doing today?
Doing good, Kenneth. What's up with you this evening?
I love the hell out of Darkness Radio, and I want to say hi to Tim Dennis. I know he's pushing buttons.
He's waving you from the other room right now. What point did you want to talk about tonight, Kenneth?
I wanted to ask your guest about the whole Justin Smeha thing, and I wanted to ask you that too. I run a Portland Sasquatch Research Project. I just came out of the film tonight, and I was listening to the show. I want to know, what do you guys think about Justin Smeha?
Well, Andrew, what are your thoughts on Justin Smeha and his claims?
Well, we interviewed him for Jeff Pritchett and I for our Praise for the Hairy Man book. And we also, by the way, have a new one out called Probes Happen, The Secret Life of Aliens.
Okay.
Where we do the same thing. We interview all the movers and shakers we can find.
I've listened to this story many times, and it's changed so many times.
Yeah, what do you think about it, Andrew? What do you make of the story?
Well, my initial impression was he's making it up, because I think there were some other videos he had made earlier that were had a hoaxy quality to them, and I think he was genuinely sorry. You know, he said he was genuinely sorry for killing the Bigfoot, but I think maybe he was genuinely sorry for going a little too far with the story, maybe. But he did seem like he, you know, had learned some kind of lesson or something from it. At last I heard.
Right. And on my perspective, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, we had him on Coast. We had him on Darkness Radio. I don't believe it. I don't find it to be believable at all. And there's too many holes in the story of the logic just doesn't add up. You know, you kill one and then, you know, I understand maybe that initial panic sets in. What did I do? Am I going to be in trouble? Am I going to get arrested for this? And then burying it and then thinking, nope, you know what? I need proof. I have to. And you kill another one and then bury that one again, too, and take off. It makes no sense. And in the first story, which I found funny, Andrew, is he and his buddy are driving. They're poaching illegally, as I understand at that time. And they see this thing out in the field. And Justin raises his rifle to shoot it, and his buddy goes, hold on, we don't know what that is. It could be a guy in a suit. And Justin, in a split second, makes that decision and takes the shot and supposedly kills this thing. Again, he admitted on our show that he wasn't sure what it was, but he took a shot at it. It could have been a guy in a ghillie suit. Yeah. And he shot at it. So I just have a hard time buying the story. And if he is that guy, I just never want to be around him when he's holding a gun, because that's crazy to me. You're just going to take shots at things because there's a chance it might be a Bigfoot. I will not be in that guy's vicinity ever if he's got a gun in his hands.
Yeah, thanks a lot. From what we know, it's futile anyway. So, you know.
Supposedly, right? Yeah, nobody's able to bring one down. Or you know, I know that Art Bell had a story many years ago. Somebody claimed to have shot two of them and supposedly gave Art the information. And I never did hear if there was any follow-up to that, if anybody ever went out and checked that location. Supposedly, this guy would only give the information to Art. So I'm not sure if that ever came out. Let's go to Wild Card Line 4. We've got Solex in Montana. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, and thank you for having me.
Certainly. What would you like to talk about, Solex?
Well, I'd like to talk to your guest.
Okay.
I'll say this, that I have been in the deepest woods in the Rocky Mountains for 40 years. I am there right now. I am lucky to get a cell phone signal out to you, and it's very appropriate at this current time. However, for 40 years, I've had rocks thrown at me. I've had strange noises presented to me, but at 5 a.m. in the morning, and in exceptional health, I've raced out to these places. I don't see footprints. I don't see evidence. I don't see evidence stuck on a twig of hair from anything else. I've never seen these things. For 40 years in the state of Montana,
mm-hmm.
whatever these people are saying, I don't see these things.
But what do you think is flinging rocks at you then?
Well, I don't know. I tell you what. I have sold my own llamas to the Forest Service so that they just can keep up with me. What do you think is throwing these rocks at me? Is it coming from down from the hills? I don't know. But what I'm going to say is, not that I'm going to disprove llamas. Not that I'm going to disprove Sasquatch or the Yeti. Is that I'm saying there's something out there that I cannot explain.
And that's okay?
No, it's not okay. I mean, if you can't explain anything, what's not okay? I mean, I can't explain these people who are seeing UFOs. I've never seen one. In 40 years in the deep woods in Montana, I've never seen one. I can't explain that either.
But you know what? I've never seen a porcupine, but I know they exist. It doesn't mean that they don't exist because you haven't seen them, right? It's just when you finally have that moment, when that window opens for you, Solex, thank you for giving us a call. And just so the listeners understand, because I know I'll get some email after this, I'm not a disbeliever. I had an experience when I was a kid. I saw what I believe to be a Bigfoot in Foley, Alabama. I've seen what I believe to be alien craft in the sky at the Yosetti Ranch, James Gilliland's ranch in Trout Lake, Washington. I've seen something even more recently in the sky that I can't wrap my head around. I'm not a disbeliever. I just have to question the claims and the stories that come out from the people that want to share them. It's simply, you know, carrying on the conversation. Let's go to Wildcard Line 1. Pete in Ontario, Canada, welcome to the show.
Well, because you just covered a few bases there, I saw as a teenager a dancing light in the sky, and it couldn't have been anything but a UFO. And I just thought, well, there's a UFO in it. Thinking back now, I was just realizing how matter-of-fact I was about it. But what I was calling about is me and a fella I went to high school with. There was three of us on a night shift on a gold crush run in a pilot plant, Ontario Research Foundation, just west of Toronto. And we were coming in at midnight, and up to the industrial door, the little peak windows you have at eye level, was this 6-foot-ish black, all black creature with its face right up to the window. So it didn't see us approaching, and I guess it heard the car, maybe the lights caught its peripheral vision, and it turned and looked at us, And the eyes were goldish, reflective, and there's something about its face that was kind of like cat-like. And we were startled. It was obviously startled. And, you know, we're looking at each other as, you know, we're approaching in the car for a couple of seconds. Then it just turned and bolted into the woods.
Very strange. Wait, have you ever seen anything like it since?
Oh, heck no. And I want to look this fellow. This was about 1980.
Okay.
And I want to look this fellow up to see what he remembers of the incident. But I'm 100% serious and 100% sure we both saw exactly the same thing. And only one other guy he was in the plan at the time. And I guess that this creature was peeking in, you know, just seeing what's going on in there. But
sure.
We both told him what we saw, and we were just, like I say, very startled ourselves. But I know what I saw, and the thing is, there was something about it that wasn't ape-like, although it was all black fur. There was something about the head that was kind of like a cat-like creature, and the way it ran, two legs, it was like a human figure, but it, like, the speed of the thing when it tore off into the woods was unbelievable.
Thank you for calling in, Pete, and being part of the show. Catmen, dogmen, Bigfoot. You think we're going to ever have definitive proof that any of these creatures exist, Andrew?
Oh, well, it's a question of statistics almost. Like, how many people needs to believe it before it becomes, quote, real? I just think everyone, this is a personal journey. It's about that. It's part of it. So, you know, you make out of it. You make of it what you can. Use it to the best of your ability, and try not to let it rule your life. Or, you know,
right.
You got to keep it at arm's length and use it if you can for a little synchronicity, a little help here and there, because it will help you. You know, Mothman seems to give people help, little prophecies and things. I would think that covering up Mothman would be more important for the people in power than Bigfoot, because they actually do worship these Birdman-like entities at a certain level of elite occultism.
Thank you, Andrew Colvin, Brian Sykes, my guests this evening, and thanks especially to our great gang back behind the scenes, Nathan, Gina, Chris Boros, my producer, Tim Dennis, my engineer here in Minnesota, Lisa Lyon, George Norrie, and thank you all for tuning in and spending your evening and early morning here with me. I'm Dave Schrader. Check me out at darknessradio.com. I'll be back with you the 2nd of April on the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM.